Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dante Hightower, the Patriots Pro Bowl linebacker, a three-time Super Bowl champion, is going to be opting out.
What? No!
I don't mean to sound cold about this, but you've just got to keep going. Like, yeah. You got to proceed as if it's business as usual.
Dale Arnold.
Oh. That didn't take long.
The time on that thing to get out of the ballpark.
Rich Key.
It's rough, bro, to be honest. You know, it's not just like one run, you know. It's a couple runs.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
Lemon pepper aroma.
They ain't gonna bust a grape in a food fight and pour milk on cereal.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. Rich, I have a question for the Bill Belichick is tanking for Trevor Lawrence folks.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Why'd they sign Cam Newton?
Throw you off the scent. It's the only thing I can think of.
It's just a question. I was curious.
No, the Cam Newton one, that convinced everybody that, or it should have anyway, that they were going to try to win as many games as possible and continue their AFC East division streak and, you know, maybe be a Super Bowl contender and all that other stuff. Now, if they hadn't signed Cam Newton, I think I would even breathe some life into the Trevor Lawrence stuff. But no, the Cam Newton means that they're going for it this year.
Star Lotulelei of the Buffalo Bills is opting out. Okay. That's another pretty good player. $4.5 million due this year, $2.5 million due the following year. It's a pretty good player.
Yeah,
he's not Dante Hightower, but not bad.
No, Hightower probably the best player. Still no big name quarterback. Still no big name running back. Still no big name wideout. Still no corner. Right, like, as far as I know, none of those guys have like the highest. Is Dante Hightower the highest paid guy that's opted out so far? And there also hasn't been any like young guys.
So.
There hasn't been any super young guys either. So, I mean, but that list is going to continue to grow between now and next week.
We mentioned that the Patriots have 11 Super Bowl rings that have now opted out. And if you think about the list of things that would allow you to make this decision, you've made some money. I'm not saying you've made all your money, but you've made a lot of money.
Yep.
You've won championships. You're a veteran guy. You've had success. And maybe you've got family issues. As we said, Patrick Chung is expecting a baby this summer. Dante Hightower's wife just had a baby within the last month. All of those things make this decision fairly easy.
I don't think it was easy. I bet those guys were... I mean, think about how many years they've played football.
Well, in Chung's case, supposedly, he'd been considering retirement anyway, so this just probably pushed him over the edge here.
Yeah, true. I mean, not necessarily the way you want to go out, but you're right. He could have been one of those surprise cuts by the end of the year, too, right? Or the end of camp. Like, if there was an actual real camp and there wasn't any of this and there was OTAs and there was that whole thing, like, there could have been... You know, it turns out it's over with. But I think for some of these guys, just so tough because if you sit out a whole year, how tough is it going to be to come back the next year? And yeah, you have money, but there's also an opportunity to make more money now. Like, you have a short window as a football player to collect all of your money. And if you're sitting out, that is just a really tough thing. Plus, you know, you're on these teams, especially for the guys that are on for a long time, you have a commitment to the team. And I think all sports have it, but football, it's just a little bit different. Like, it's just, I hate using like the war analogies because it's not war, but like the idea of like a, you know, going to battle type of thing is more, I think, apt for football than the other sports are. And these guys, like what they go through and like literally putting their bodies on the line every single game to say, you know what, I'll let you guys play, but I'm not going to play. I bet it was really tough for all of them.
I'm seeing this question asked on social media, and I don't know the positive answer here. Is this an irrevocable decision? In other words, Dante Hightower, you know, says, look, I'm opting out. But then, you know, 3 weeks from now, he feels better about how the situation looks and says, you know what, I'd like to come back and play now. Once you file the paperwork to opt out, are you done?
It's a good question. Now, if you opt out and then the Patriots use your cap space to sign somebody else,
yeah,
then I think you're kind of SOL. But, you know, Victor Oladipo is the case study with the Pacers. Now, it's different because they were into their season. The guy leaves like, all right, you know, we can either sign somebody or we can leave the roster spot open or whatever. And then he changes his mind. If you change your mind in a few days, depending on the coaching staff and pretending on everything, I'm sure they could, you know, be like, all right, we'll welcome you back and that kind of thing. But yeah, there must be something that they have to sign in order to say, all right, you know, you're not getting your $8 million, right? Like, you can't just jump back in and then try to get the prorated. I don't know what the league is determined with that, but I'm sure you have to sign something.
I mentioned that the deadline is next Monday, August 3rd, in which you have to tell the league if you're going to opt out or not. But I've also seen a couple of NFL reporters say what they're hearing is that deadline is going to be extended. You know, that guys are grappling with decisions here, they're looking for more information here, and that the league is not going to hold fast and true to the Monday, August 3rd deadline to opt out.
Yeah, so maybe they bump it a couple of days, but I do think it's probably important for some of those free agents. You know, Scheim just went over the whole list. Like, you know, Clowney's the one that stands out, but there's a bunch of NFL veteran guys that probably want back in the league, and if some of these players who clearly have spots but they're going to choose not to play, well, they might want to make that decision, you know, sooner rather than later, really for the rest of the team, for your fellow players and everything else.
Just to continue the ongoing discussion we've had and how the sports are commingling here, Ken Rosenthal has an interesting note here. In a team vote, the vast majority of Nationals players voted against going to Miami for a 3-game series this weekend. Decision will rest with MLB. This is what you're going to start to get now. Apparently, the majority of Nationals players said, we don't want to get on a plane and go to Miami.
Yeah. So the question is, are the Marlins even going to be playing, right? Are they even allowed
to
play?
It's a legitimate question.
Because they got 17. Now, that includes a couple of coaches, but still, you're talking about, you know, half the roster. If it's a 30-man roster right now, like half the roster is dealing with this. So are they going to be able to get enough minor leaguers up? And would they be comfortable playing them in Washington? Like, is that one of those things where they could say, you know what, you guys are going to have to be like a road team, like almost like the Blue Jays in a way, and like we're not going to send you back down there. Although we don't even know if they got it there, right? Like, isn't there some reports that they got it in Atlanta?
Or in Atlanta.
Not reports, but there's sort of like speculation that they got it in Atlanta.
Well, there is certainly no doubt that the incidents in Miami, especially Miami-Dade County, is as high as any place in the country right now.
Yeah.
That may be part of what their decision is. But the Nationals players are basically saying, we don't want to go.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, you might have a 60-game season where not even every team plays 60 games. And then what do you do?
And how would Major League Baseball make them go?
I don't think they can at this point.
I mean, Rosenthal said the decision rests with Major League Baseball, but if, and I'm just throwing out numbers for the sake of argument here, if you know, 20 of the 30 players on the Nationals say, I don't want to go, how can you make them?
Again, this is stuff that they needed to figure out beforehand.
Do you think?
You don't argue over like every penny that each side is going to get. I know that's also important, but then you can't get into a season, have something like this happen, and now you're like renegotiating. Like, that shouldn't be how it is. You should have something in line, and you have plenty of smart people, or so I thought, that should be involved. A lot of high paid people involved in all these decision making process, that you figure it out. You're like, all right, if this team has so many, this is what we do with them. This is what we do with their opponent. This is what we do with the team that just happened there. Like, this isn't that far down the line of, like, the hypotheticals. Like, you can drive yourself crazy coming up with, like, all right, well, what if this guy gets it, but this guy does it and everything else? But if you just said you're sitting in a meeting and you're trying to figure out, you know, the safety protocols, One team has four guys, five guys test positive. Do you play the game that night? The answer is probably no, right? You can postpone a game, get more of your test results back. If nobody else gets flagged, maybe you play a game, maybe you play a doubleheader, whatever else it is. But if all of a sudden 15 guys on the team have it, well, they shouldn't have been on the field the day before. All that stuff looks worse. Now you're costing the Yankees. Meanwhile, the Yankees are like, we just want to play. We're in Philadelphia. We're getting ready to play. They're like, oh, you can't play now because these guys have infected the whole clubhouse. So they didn't come up with any of the answers, and now they're trying to figure it out, and Manfred sounds like an idiot again. He's like, oh, yeah, this is fine.
We're good.
He's literally the gif of the dog drinking the coffee in the burning house. He's that guy. He just sit there like, this is fine. We're fine. It's like, no, your team, you have a team that half the players have it and you don't have a plan. You're just like, oh, we'll get through this. Like, what do you mean we'll get through this? You're going to kick them out of the league. You're going to postpone them. How long can they not play and then it still be a viable option for them to return? Like, their decision-making is probably going to kill the league more than even the coronavirus itself.
So the Red Sox are supposed to go to the Mets on Wednesday, the Yankees over the weekend, and Tampa Bay next Tuesday and Wednesday. What if the Red Sox said, we don't want to go to Tampa?
By the way, how badly do the Red Sox owners, manager, GM want the season to get yanked?
I don't think they'd mind at all right now.
I think they would love it. They would vote for that in a second.
There were financial reasons why if the plug got pulled before August 31st, I was reading it hurts them.
But it's just so embarrassing to have this be the product on the field. You have like one major league pitcher. You're supposed to have a whole staff. You're supposed to have a whole staff of pitchers. You decided to have one, and then for it to look the way that it has looked is no surprise. So if all of a sudden there's a push to maybe shut down the league, I think they would be all in. Like, you know what? We tried, guys. We tried. And then you have like a big free agency in the offseason, and you come back with like a major league baseball team, like, or at least the attempt to. They'd be thrilled. There'd be a bunch of teams. Because we kind of joked, how are the Marlins going to take it seriously? Why would the Orioles take it seriously? Why would the Red Sox at this point take it seriously? They're going to want to pull the plug as bad as anybody.
Yeah, you know what? I wonder if they would be. I mean, it's not like you're worried about, well, we can't lose all these home games. We've got all these fans and all this money nope. coming in. Nope, we've got none of that.
Nope.
I mean, Nesson would hate it.
They would hate it, and it would definitely impact us here on the radio
sure,
station. It would impact a lot of people. But I'm just saying for their point, they're like, all right, on the one hand, it wasn't going to be 162 games with, you know, this kind of pitching staff. It was only going to be 60. But through four games already, you're like, oh, my God. 50-something more games of this? It's a hard watch. It's a hard thing to stomach. And then, meanwhile, you're just hoping that your players avoid this virus and they're able to stay on the field. And, oh, by the way, that your opponent and all the cities that you're traveling to, like, it's going to turn into more of a headache. And if you're a contending team, you can almost stomach it. You're like, all right, this sucks, but we're going to try whatever we can to play and have a playoff. But if you're a team on the outside, you're like, what's the point?
617-779-7937. Jim's in Rhode Island. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Doing great.
My topic would be on the baseball situation.
Right.
Has anything come about where we found a direct link to exactly what happened, or is it still up in the air in a question mark?
At least publicly, it's still up in the air. If Major League Baseball knows, or if the Marlins know, they haven't said anything.
Now, that would definitely be a breach of it has to be a breach of an MLB agreement or whatever, and it's really the service to every single team out there, is it not?
Well, I mean, I understand your question, and thank you for the call. The sound was driving me nuts. Here's the deal. If let's just use this as an example. If player X from the Marlins did exactly what he was supposed to do, he went to the ballpark, he worked out, he went home, but his wife had gone out for lunch with a bunch of her friends and brought that disease back into the house, the virus back into the house, it's certainly not that player's fault if that happened to him.
Yeah,
now, if he's out hitting some beach party somewhere and people are elbow to elbow and slamming beers and not using masks and all that stuff, well, then that's kind of on him.
Well, like, yeah, short of a maskless party, if somebody does get it, are they going to know exactly where they got it from? Like, how do you really trace that back? And now you can go through, like, I can walk through my steps. I'm like, all right, I went to The grocery store, because I had to, but I wore a mask, and everybody in there was wearing a mask. Could I have gotten it there? Maybe, but like I don't know for sure. And so unless one of those guys confesses to just straight up being like at a party, which is what we would then all assume is where they got it, outside of that, I think it's kind of tough. Like I think I go back and forth on whether or not, you know, where these guys got it is the most important thing.
That's why the contract tracing, which is a disaster nationally.
Yeah.
It's critical within these pro leagues.
But so it's important in the sense that, all right, if these guys were just being idiots, you feel a little bit better that, all right, as long as we're smart, we can get through it. Whereas if you find out that everybody was doing the right thing and then they still had half the clubhouse get it, then you're a little bit more concerned. My bigger issue, though, is just the league trying to figure out what to do next. Like, all right, these guys have it. Figure it out how they got it, whatever, but it's not going to take away from the fact that half of the Marlins are infected. So now what do you do? What's the next plan in place? And they don't seem to have one.
By the way, a quick side note for football. Did you see the Kansas City Royals today announced the newest member of their ownership group? Did you see who bought into the ownership group for the Kansas City Royals? I mean, he's got $500 million burning a hole in his pocket.
Really? Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes.
Why would you get in on that?
Is now a minority owner of the Kansas City Royals. Now, obviously, you know, his dad was a Major League Baseball player. He was around clubhouses his whole life. Mm-hmm. Pat Mahomes played for 11 seasons in Major League Baseball. I'm sure he's got a love for the game and an affinity for the game. But Patrick Mahomes has taken some of his football earnings and bought a piece of the Kansas City Royals.
I guess. You know what they say? You get a lot of money, you're supposed to invest it. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to do baseball. That's going in the right direction.
Is he buying low here? I mean, you know, let's be honest. If you're going to buy a piece,
yeah,
is it easier to buy it this year than any other time?
True. Yeah, I guess that'd be fair. They're like, oh, you want to give us some money? We'll take it. You're sold. We can put your name somewhere on the team brochure.
I mean, my guess is we're not talking about some gigantic chunk of the team here.
Well, no, that's why it's funny. Like when A-Rod was looking to buy the Mets, there is a list of other athletes that are all sort of jumping in there, and it's a bunch of guys that some have made decent money, but nobody that you would really think would have enough to own a team. But I guess if you spread it so thin, I guess you could technically be an owner and, you know, not have to pay that much.
And I know A-Rod's made more money than anybody in the history of baseball. But he's not in that, you know, couple billion-dollar league, which is what it's going to take to buy the Mets.
Yeah, that's why.
Even with J-Lo.
I was going to say, with J-Lo, but then they got other investors, too. So then they can make it pretty competitive.
So now, do they still have rules against, like you can't own teams in separate leagues? Wasn't that a thing for the 49ers for a long time? Eddie DeBartolo couldn't buy a part of such and such?
I don't know, because I thought the Sabres guy, doesn't he also own the Bills?
He does, yeah.
Yeah, so I think certain leagues it's allowed.
I thought baseball was one of those where you couldn't own a team if you... Well,
so now Mahomes can't own, you know, the Celtics, yeah. I guess.
My guess is he probably, you know, doesn't own enough of it for anybody to be even concerned about it anyway. But
no, definitely not.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I keep looking for other names to pop up, but it hasn't happened yet. The picture, by the way, that we talked about, Cam Newton's Instagram account, which is he, Damier Bird, and Julian Edelman. According to Mike Reese, he thinks that was a recent workout in Los Angeles, not here.
Those guys are in. The most shocking names to opt out, even though they're both over 30, and you know that would sort of, based on some of the guys that have already decided to opt out, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon, the two most surprising names would be Julian Edelman and Cam Newton.
Yeah, I couldn't even... Well, Cam Newton, it'd be impossible to envision that, short of, you know, getting sick himself or something.
Edelman's not. Edelman might be the last guy in the league that I think opt out.
Edelman might be the guy that they literally have to say, no, Julian, you can't come back anymore. You got to go home now.
Sadly, someday that may come. Not this year. They need him, but
no.
And he's gonna play no matter what happens. It could get a whole lot worse, and Cam and Edelman will still be out there on the field.
So just so people understand the rules here, rookies and quarterbacks reported to Gillette yesterday for their first round of COVID testing. Today, all of the other veteran players report for COVID testing, except for the six who have so far opted out for the Patriots. They have to have three negative tests before they are then allowed back into the facility. My understanding was tomorrow they were not going to take any tests but then they were going to be back for testing on Thursday. I mean, it really does appear that maybe the earliest would be Monday or something before they'd be back in the facility.
Yeah, and then, you know, just whatever the process looks like, we'll see how many guys are still on the roster at that point and then when they can get into practices and everything else, because the league is still determined to open up the season on September 10th, but, you know, we're getting closer and closer to that date and, you know, players are deciding not to play. It's going to be pretty interesting to see what it looks like.
By the way, Andrew Brandt has cleared up some of the conflicting information about the so-called stipend. Patrick Chung, I don't believe, is considered a high-risk player. My belief is that his reason for wanting to opt out has to do with the fact that he's got a baby due soon.
Yeah.
He gets the $150,000, which he would have to, in effect, pay out of next year's contract, assuming there is one. If you're one of the high-risk players, and I think Marcus Cannon is one,
yeah,
because he's a cancer survivor, you get $350,000, but it is a stipend, period. It doesn't come out of your next year's contract. If you're a high-risk player who opts out, like Cannon, you get the $350,000. If you don't play next year, too bad. Or if you do play next year, they don't take $350,000 out of your contract for next year.
Now, did they end up agreeing to what made you a high-risk player?
Because there was a whole list of things. Well, it felt like almost everybody in the league could almost be considered high-risk.
Well, one of the things they were pitching was if you were African-American.
Yeah.
So that's most of the league right there. So I don't know what they ended up settling on, because you're right. From afar, Marcus Cannon would clearly check that box. David Andrews, now it sounds like he's going to opt in, actually. But if David Andrews opted out, you would understand that. And boom, at risk, $350,000, move on. But depending on what gets picked up on there, like if a guy, I think it was like sleep apnea or something, like boom, you get it too. So we'll see. Some of the guys that may not appear to qualify, they just might, depending on what they agreed to.
Now, what I don't know, Dante Hightower's mother is high risk because she's a diabetic, but I don't know if that means he's a high risk or not.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, you wouldn't think that would be the case. And there were a bunch of things on the list, and I think you're right. One of them was if you're an African-American. One was a body mass index above a certain number.
Which was like also like everybody, I think. Like the number was fairly low, I believe.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. And by the way, the whole list of things that if you're a player and you engage in what the NFL calls high-risk conduct, And they're talking about this list of things. If you attend an indoor nightclub with more than 15 people, if you attend an indoor bar other than to pick up food with more than 15 people, if you attend an indoor house party more than 15 people, indoor music concert, entertainment event. Oh, here's a good one. If you attend a professional sporting event.
How? Well,
nobody gets to go to those.
How is that allowed?
It says other than applicable NFL games or events. So what if you're an NFL player,
or NASCAR,
you can't go to the Celtics game. Yeah, I guess that'd be about it.
Yes.
If you attend an indoor religious service attended by more than 25% of the venue's capacity, it gets real specific here.
Yeah, a lot going on.
But then you're engaging in what's called high-risk COVID conduct, and then you can get yourself in some trouble.
Okay.
I mean, then you can be subject to discipline, fines. Now, the fact of the matter is they are attending 16 high-risk events, right? Between September 10th and January 3rd.
Yeah, those ones don't count.
No.
It's just like what we were talking about with Kern. Like everything before you get to the stadium, you got to do this, that, and the other thing. But then when you get out in the field, it's just, you know, business as usual.
We've got Kiefer Madness coming up in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
The beginning of madness.
This is madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
Keefe, kiss my ass. How's that sound?
Okay. Keefe's a nice guy.
What now?
I got really into home brewing. I got a home brewing kit. Pretty time consuming.
Go store, Keefe.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
This is madness.
I'm going to suggest it might include poop.
Yo, Keefe of Madness is so hit or miss.
You're only giving a little spark of madness.
Keefe, you jackass.
Keefe, Keefe for Madness?
The Naked Yoga Man was released on $1,000 personal recognizance.
Well, I don't like Facebook. The library blocked my password. Now tell me, does that make any sense to you?
One thing is certain, it's pretty big. I mean, it's effing huge. Now, descriptions go from vague, like the length of 10 ships, to more specific, like a mile and a half long. Now, some stories say that unlucky sailors would mistake the beast for an island and try to land on it. These foolish seagoers would then be dragged down into the ocean. Now, I'm telling you, that is how I would want to go if I was back in these times.
It's a Tuesday at noon 30. Wow. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
His voice
last
kind of soothes me.
Yeah, a little bit. That gentleman there discussing the Kraken. Of course, last week, Seattle announced that they are going to be known as the Seattle Kraken in the NHL in a couple of years. One of the great sports names maybe of all time. Their logo, we're not going to debate now, Shime, hit or miss, but the name
not now.
Itself.
We've sort of beat that horse to death.
The name itself is fantastic.
Love it.
And
love it.
So let's learn a little bit more about
the Kraken. By
the
way, my Kraken gear hasn't shown up yet.
I still can't believe you ordered Kraken gear.
A hat and a t-shirt.
But you're a Bruins guy.
I know. That's okay.
Release the Kraken.
He's just a hockey fan.
I guess he's a hockey fan.
I'm
so
a hockey guy.
We'll see what happens. So they'll be out there. Now, we have a bunch of stuff to get to, including five fast facts about Kraken, which we'll get to in just a moment. But first, we were taking a look at the internet. What are people saying about the Kraken? This comes from Bill's channel on YouTube. That's just
Bill.
He's known as Bill.
Bill's got a channel.
That wasn't taken.
He's known as Bill. He was the first Bill, I guess, to jump on YouTube. But he was talking about how fishermen would actually use Kraken to their benefit.
That sailors would foresee a Kraken's approach with fleeing sea life, and they apparently also used Kraken feces to attract fish. But then the Kraken...
What do you think of that, Dale?
Kraken feces? Who collects the Kraken feces?
Sailors. Sailors are out there scooping up Kraken feces. Because
grab this over here.
Fish go wild for Kraken feces.
Do they?
We've always known that. These sailors have known that for... it's a tale as old as time, really.
And they apparently also used Kraken feces to attract fish, but then the Kraken itself would appear and eat the fish. How they even discovered Kraken feces, I have no idea. But because of its sheer size, the Kraken is now sometimes interpreted to have magical powers, but it didn't originally.
See, that's a legitimate question. Who was the first? I've always wondered that stuff. Like, who was the first one who said, I know this lobster looks really ugly, but I bet if we boil it up, it's going to taste delicious.
Yeah, let's get in there and eat it.
I mean, somebody had to be first. Somebody had to say, you know, the Kraken feces?
Let's use it.
Go crazy.
Well, they're like, listen, there's fish here. It's like, yeah, but then the Kraken's going to end up eating those fish because the Kraken's hungry.
Well, how do you identify it as Kraken feces? Is it like a wombat thing where it's probably like
square?
A certain shape? Yeah.
Well, wombats poop squares, so that would explain that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Kraken do. I mean, these sailors seem to know. They probably can identify whale feces,
and
shark
does it
feces.
Maintain its shape in the water?
I'm not so sure.
In the seawater?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
I don't know the answer. We're trying to learn things right now here, Shime. So just hang on. Keep it under your hat.
Sorry, I'm just
maybe
very
you'll
inquisitive.
Find out. This gentleman, Bill, also went to Google Earth because Google Earth, you can find just about anything. You want to find your house? It's on Google Earth. You want to find where you work? It's on Google Earth. What about a Kraken?
Google Earth Kraken. Swimming off the coast of Deception Island, near Antarctica, some have claimed there is a Kraken-like creature visible using Google Earth that seems to be over 100 meters long from head to end. With
huge, 100 meters.
By the way, I think Deception Island is the key part of that phrase.
Could be. Near Antarctica, though, we know that's where aliens went. Alien the Predator took place on Antarctica.
Gotcha.
So could be Kraken as well. 100 meters, though, significant.
With an abdomen similar to that of a giant squid, the Google ruler measures the abdomen as around 20 to 30 meters long, meaning that the creature is far larger than any giant squid can reach. However, even though it looks deceptively similar to a Kraken from a bird's eye view, on closer inspection, this is just a huge rock.
Well, you know, it was worth a shot.
You know, I just like his accent.
It
like
was
he
close.
Can, he can sell me on stuff because he says Google.
Yeah.
Google. Similarly, older legends also tell of sailors that mistook the creature for an island, but instead of simply debating the picture online, they were said to actually sail towards it. They were probably just on a quest for some nice calamari to put on their stale bread.
Well, see, now he's just doing shtick. Like, I thought we were really getting somewhere. We had the Google Earth pulled up.
To supply you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, now he's just making jokes. He's kind of making light of it, which I don't really care for. Man. Now, this is another YouTuber. And I don't like the premise already because he's operating under the term. He's like, what if the Kraken was real? Now, the Kraken is real.
Please, but what if?
This person is going with a what-if scenario.
If the Kraken lived by the laws of science, it wouldn't be immortal.
You'd be able to kill it. That's first.
Hunting Krakens.
Well, I don't know if we ever... I don't know if... I never thought they were immortal. I thought maybe you could kill it. No, it'd be very difficult.
Didn't Odysseus kill one?
Who did?
The guy from the Greek mythology?
Odysseus.
Odysseus?
Odysseus.
Odysseus?
Odysseus.
Or Odysseus. Mortius killed one in the Matrix.
Or Ulysses, if you want to go with the Roman version.
That'd be great, thanks.
Which means there's more than one. And they're breeding. Baby Krakens. As to where this is happening, we assume it would remain in the North Atlantic Ocean. Your first hint that you may be in the presence of a Kraken is that you catch lots of fish. And I mean, a lot of fish. If it seems too good to be true, that's because it is. The Kraken is scaring the fish towards the surface. And that's a harbinger of death for unwary sailors.
That story checks out.
And your second hint, by the way, you're dead.
Well, they could kill you. They could kill you. Now, they prefer to eat fish over human, but that leads us right into, and there might be some overlap here, that leads us right into our five fast facts about Kraken, and we will go in order.
Oh, there
number
are
five.
The Kraken was originally more crab-like. While many modern depictions show that the Kraken is a giant squid, earlier accounts of the beast described it as having spindly appendages like a crab's.
Spindly appendages.
Number four.
Now, this gentleman on YouTube already kind of tipped our hand here a little bit, but you know that the Kraken is coming when you see fish rise to the surface. If sailors saw gurgling bubbles, surfacing fish, or a plethora of jellyfish, they knew something was up down below. While fleeing sea life always preceded the Kraken's approach, their appearance unfortunately didn't give sailors enough time to get out of the way. The monster's giant size and many tentacles make it a difficult predator to evade. They can reach out and get you, no matter where you are.
100 yards long, right?
100 meters, yeah.
Now, there was a jellyfish infestation on the South Shore
think
the
about
last
it.
Couple months. So
what do you think that means?
Could be a Kraken out
there. Could be a Kraken underneath the surface.
Number three!
Some of the best minds in history have tried to disprove the Kraken. Daedalus?
Daedalus
encountered a sea monster that the sailors estimated to be at least 60 feet long, which caused a sensation. Sir Richard Owen, the man who invented the word dinosaur, argued that they saw a seal, which led to a long-standing argument between Owen and the captain of the Daedalus, who pointed out that they knew full well what a seal looked like. There were similar observations in 1845 that Owen similarly dismissed until 1873, when a fisherman caught a giant squid.
Number two.
Just to help you out in case it comes up again, it's Daedalus.
The Kraken lays low. Legend says that the sea monster enjoys solitude and resides deep on the ocean floor. It uses its tentacles to stay tethered to the bottom and hunt for food. The beast will only surface in warm weather or when disrupted. But don't disrupt them.
No, please.
It's number one.
This is the biggest surprise to me. The Kraken has no magic powers.
What?
Despite being a mythical creature, the Kraken doesn't boast any supernatural abilities. The fearsome nature of the Kraken is its sheer size. Sailors do not have to worry about it flying out of the water or putting a curse on them. Some modern-day cartoons suggest that if you defeat the Kraken, it will grant you a wish, but that's simply not true.
Oh, darn. Does it when it doesn't grant you a wish, does it then kill you?
It could kill you. Yeah, it's more likely going to kill you and eat your boat and eat your friends than anything
else.
What
if my wish is death?
Well, then you would get that.
Good news.
It would be granted.
Do we expect a battle between the Kraken and King Kong in our near future?
I would hope so. I would assume so. There's going to be another. There's supposed to be a Kong Godzilla, right? Godzilla versus Kong coming
out. Oh, perfect.
Out?
Let's get a triple threat match
get
in,
a Kraken
there,
in there.
Toss the Kraken in,
yep.
And we're good to go.
Mothra.
By the way, they destroyed Fenway Park in the last movie.
They really
appreciate
did.
That. They also used the Red Sox radio booth to call Godzilla to Fenway Park.
There was no EEI signage in that whole thing, which was a real shame.
I know. Depressing. There easily could have been. They used our board, though.
You're all over Fenway. They're using our stuff, and yet nothing.
Because Stiglione was in there, too.
No middays 10 to 2, Dale and Keith. They couldn't have gotten that in that movie. Please. But anyway, there's all the Kraken facts that you can stuff in your pocket.
My guess is that the new NHL franchise doesn't know as much about their new nickname as you do.
Probably not. I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And apparently you could have helped them out on the whole logo thing, too, because you thought they logo punted blows. That one away.
Yeah, the logo blows.
I see. But they'll agree to disagree.
I think that the third one, the alternate one that they're going to eventually make, is probably going to be real sweet.
Oh, they'll come out with something, you know, especially the kids one with the giant Kraken on the front, which is what I'm going for, that they're going to give.
I think a lot of tentacles. More tentacles, the merrier.
So the Patriots have some cap space to play with now. Maybe they're not even done yet. Maybe they'll have more before we're done. Let's see who they should go shopping for in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Baby Krakens.
How they even discovered Kraken feces, I've no idea. And they apparently also used Kraken feces to attract fish.
It's pretty big. I mean, it's effing huge.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
We've had yet another opt-out, not for the Patriots, but in the NFL. Vikings nose tackle Michael Pierce has opted out. He was the Vikings' only big-ticket free agent signing this year. And he has opted out. That sort of leaves a big hole in the front of their defense. That's what they thought they were filling it with.
Right. So it looks like they get their money back, and they can go back into the free agent pool, I guess, and see what else is out there.
By the way, Marcus Cannon, Dante Hightower were scheduled to be free agents after this season. They are not anymore. Their contracts roll over, so they're under contract for next year. Won't become free agents until after next season.
Okay.
Eagles wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, according to Ian Rappaport, will opt out. He has informed the team who traded for him during the draft. Goodwin has a 5-month daughter after his wife previously had 3 miscarriages. Family most important, and frankly, again, I don't blame anybody who opts out. Whatever reasons they have, he certainly sounds like he's got a good one.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure, again, you go through the entire league, you know, especially if you're starting with 80 players. So 80 players times 32, how many of them, you know, either have had a kid recently and are taking that into account, or maybe their wife or girlfriend has a certain thing, or they take care of their mom or whatever. So there's going to be more names coming up too. But I think if you're looking at it from the football fan perspective, I think Hightower still is the top name, right? Don't you think there's a few
yeah,
other guys
I would say so.
That are certainly starters and contributors on other teams. But I think the biggest name player that most people in the country would know would be Hightower. So we'll see. No, I mean, somebody could top that in, you know, the next 2 minutes. But as of right now, he's the best player.
So now you've got, you know, over $23 million of cap space suddenly to play with. Do you see Belichick out there trying to spend it at the moment?
I think he's probably going to kind of wait and see, you know, just make sure all these guys officially are done and then they sign off on it whenever else. And then you take a look at, all right, what do you have? What do you have left on your team? What spots do you need to fill more than others? But yeah, I would assume, you know, that they would spend some of that, because I think you go back to, they signed Cam Newton for really cheap, and then they free up some money after the settlements with Antonio Brown and Aaron Hernandez. But part of that was probably, all right, you want to free up some money so you can go into the season and make a trade if need be, or just have some roster flexibility. But now you're freeing up even more money, but you lost a starting right tackle, a starting safety, a starting linebacker, a special teams guy, a fullback. Like, you've lost all of those things. So, yeah, I think somebody that's a free agent right now is probably going to get signed by the Patriots at some point and be a contributor. Like, I don't think they're just going to, like, elevate, you know, guy 75 on the roster and just say, all right, you got a job now.
We always talk about, you know, the Patriots going out and trying to get, you know, the big name that's out there. And that's what they're doing now. It doesn't seem to play into necessary, especially at this late date. I don't see Belichick going out there and grabbing the big fish left in the pool, though. Do you?
Sure. I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, I think this date, you can kind of, it doesn't really matter, because you can't compare it to other seasons. There is no OTAs. There's going to be no preseason games. Like, this is a different type of offseason or preseason than we have ever seen. And so, you know, it took him 3 months, but he ended up signing Cam Newton. So if it takes him 4 months to sign Jadeveon Clowney or whatever, because all of a sudden you have this money that you didn't anticipate having, now you have it, And I don't think you're just going to, you know, sit on it and say, oh, great, look how far below we are underneath the cap. You know, assuming you think you're still going to be a contender in the AFC, I bet they do go out and sign somebody.
I wouldn't picture it to be Clowney, but they've got roster spots. They've got they re-signed one of the wide receivers who they cut on Sunday. They re-signed in the last day or so. So they've already moved at the moment to, you know, fill some of these open roster spots.
Yeah, they'll fill the roster spots. But, I mean, those are the type of guys that are such a long shot anyway to make the team. So even though, yeah, you know, it's not 90 guys, so there's 10 extra guys per team that don't have the opportunity. But still, you have to go from 80 all the way down to 53. So some of the guys that they cut and then re-sign probably aren't going to make it anyway. Whereas if you take a look at some of the veterans that are still unsigned right now, you could definitely I could definitely see them spending some of their money on them.
One other bit of NFL news. Adam Schefter, among others, are reporting that number one overall pick Joe Burrow has agreed in principle to a $36.1 million contract pending a physical later this week. He receives 100% of his $23.88 million signing bonus from the Bengals within 15 days of executing the contract.
There you go. So he's
I mean, the
playing.
Way things are slotted, we all knew anyway, right?
I'm guessing he's going to play.
It's a pretty good bet.
Yeah,
that,
I have a feeling.
He's not going to opt out from, you know, $23.88 million of signing bonus money off the bat.
He'll be out there.
617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
I've been paying real close attention to this Marlins situation. And, you know, everybody wants to speculate about how, what, where, and whatever. But let's just make this clear. This is, everyone says this, it's an airborne virus. So you get a couple of players that get it, okay? Now they get on planes, they're getting on buses, okay? They're flying. Now they're in the same plane for 2-3 hours. They're breathing the air. I'm really worried because these teams that are forced to travel, they have no choice. They're in that same thing. And I think people are getting a little careless up there. But I think when you look at it, a couple of guys got sick. They fly to Atlanta. Then you find a few more get sick. And now they fly. I don't know if they flew in anyplace else, but long and short of it is that I really think these guys are getting sick in the planes because it's the one place where they're all in the same thing. Now, the buses as well, but they're not in the bus anywhere near as long. And, again, when you talk about other teams, all right, right now it's isolated, and they're saying that they don't think it's been passed on at the ball field. And I believe that because, again, this is airborne. So what's going to happen is the next time another player on another team gets the virus, he's going to get on a plane, and it's going to be the same thing. And I'm going to call you guys back, and I'm going to say, see, it's the planes, because I really believe it is. When you trace it back, they're going to find out that the planes is probably one of the most dangerous places for anybody to be if they're worried about the virus.
It might be. I mean, there's a lot of cross-country plane travel still going on. You know, you'd like to think that whoever the charter company is that the Miami Marlins are using are as diligent about, you know, safety and disinfecting as JetBlue would be or somebody else
right.
would be.
You would hope on all these private flights that, you know, guys either have their masks on or they're sitting, you know, not on top of each other and all that other stuff. Now, he might be right. I mean, it might be circulating while they're on the plane. But the other thing is, you know, they didn't get it from the plane. Like, somebody got it somewhere. Somebody got it, whether it was in Atlanta or when they were in Miami. And outside of the plane, I know they have all these rules in place, but we've all been watching the games. They don't necessarily all follow them. Like, have you seen
None
a high five?
Seem to.
Have you seen a guy spit? Have you seen, like, all these things that they said they're going to take away? It's hard to do, but they're all still, for the most part, like, high-fiving each other. Sometimes they don't. Like, they get a hit, and they go in the dugout, and they point. But on the field, they're still in contact, and we don't see what's going on in the locker room. So they can try to do the right thing, but all it takes is one guy to maybe either screw up or not really care or not even think about it. And, oh, we just got tested yesterday. We both came back fine. So I don't know. What's the big deal? And then, whoops, turns out one of you guys did have it all along. And then now it's spreading quickly.
I do think that, you know, it is safe to say that as they get more information, as things move forward, as players, maybe they should have done this before. Your point is well taken, Rich. Maybe they should have expressed concerns about traveling to some of these hot spots prior to this. But now you're starting to get teams saying, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to picture that Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred are going to say, get on the damn plane, get to Miami. We got a job to do.
Yeah, that's one thing where they can't do. And I know because, you know, I was making fun of David Price yesterday for kind of being up on his high horse. Like, oh, let's see if the owners or if the league cares about the players, even though the players didn't care about the players' safety for the longest time. And then even this weekend with the Marlins. But if you have the Nationals saying we don't want to go, this would line up with what Price was saying. If all of a sudden the commissioner's like, nope, you got a game to play, everybody on there, or you guys forfeit. If you do that, then you're like, all right, how seriously are you taking the safety?
We've avoided, other than brief mentions, talking about how bad it's been for your Boston Red Sox so far. We will not hold off much longer. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.